Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Hotspot, the show where Delia and Marilyn, your sexy mistress co-host, talk about all the things that get us hot and bothered. I am your super sexy co-host, Delia of BegForMistress.com.
And this is Mistress Marilyn, your naughty cock-teasing femdom of KinkAdvisor.com. And sultry co-host of tonight's Kinkified Erotic Humiliation Fun.
Now, I have a question for you all. Are you ready to get hot? This week, we have a very sexy show for you, but don't we always? This show will be a little bit different because we're focusing on erotic humiliation. The kind of humiliation that gets you hard in spite of your cheeks blushing. So, if you are a fan of the slightly embarrassing and highly erotic, for you. So, everybody hang on and get ready to get hot.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, it is time for Miss Marilyn's Sex Toy Reviews. And this week, I am extra excited about the toy that we have found. Miss Delia actually has found us a toy. It is the ultimate humiliation sex toy from Socrin.com, and it is called the How May I Help You Gag. I just love that. That is the most perfect name ever. Now, this toy is exactly what it sounds like, a sexy and innovative gag designed to be used with a number of different attachments, all aimed towards serving and pleasing your mistress. Now, the exterior of this gag is made with smooth and gorgeous leather, while the interior of this gag is lined with neoprene, nice and easy to clean. It fits like a big gag, more than comfortable for wearing for long periods of time, though I'm sure whatever servitude your mistress has in mind for you will be a little less comfortable and a little more sexy. Attached over the big gag portion is an aluminum metal tube meant to be fit to the available attachments, and the black leather on metal will always be a classic and sexy look in BDSM fetish wear. Do note that each attachment is sold separately from the toy, so you can start with your favorites and build your collection as your mistress sees fit. Now, let's chat about these fun little attachments that I've been teasing you about, and all the ways we can use them to humiliate you. We'll start with the serving tray, a great attachment for any submissive in need of training. On a call where I've got you on webcam, this serving tray would be the perfect way to have you show me what toys you have available for me to play with, one by one. It'll be one hell of a tease to have your favorite dildos right before your eyes as you show them off to me, wondering which one I might decide to fuck you with. Better yet, I can teach you how to fix me a purist gin martini, as it should be, so you'll have some hope at impressing the mistresses and masters at your next fetish event. Next up, we have the feather duster attachments. Oh, a gorgeous and perfect addition to any sissy-made outfit. I know my sissy-mates could always improve their dusting skills, especially with their habit of leaving little droplets of pre-cum around the areas that they were just asked to clean. The best part? If I don't see you dusting to my satisfaction, I could always place a feather duster butt plug in the other end and have you shake your tail feathers to prove to me that you are the ever-efficient sissy mate that I've trained you to be. The last attachment that I'm going to chat about tonight is the naughtiest of all. Anybody want to take a guess in the chat room? I bet you might just get it. It is the dildo attachment. Oh, fuck yes. I am loving this accessory because this truly is a gorgeous cock. All 8 thick black inches of it. is the perfect toy for a cuckold fantasy, especially with a side of small penis humiliation. Not only can I tease you about your dildo gout being so much bigger than the prick between your legs, but how beautifully humiliating a fantasy would it be for you to earn the privilege of fucking me with this toy, knowing that not only will your dick not get to feel the pleasure of my sweet pussy, but your gag mouth means you won't even get to taste the pleasure you're giving me without my say-so. Props to Mistress Delia and her impeccable taste for picking out a great sex toy for this week's review. The fun to be had with this gag has so many possibilities, and simply put, I can't wait to try out and masturbate to each and every one.
Oh, and you will masturbate to each and every one because the attachments are really so cool. It is a comfy gag, but the attachments really, really just make it work. And there's something so wonderfully humiliating and just utterly submissive about having any one of these attachments. Welcome back, everybody. Let's talk a little bit about erotic humiliation. It is pretty sexy. And, you know, there are some people out there who just love bodily sensations that others would not. Now, I'll give you some examples that I would not like, but other people just love. Things like jumping from an airplane, or even doing some of the really much more intense rides at in an amusement park. I wouldn't do those, but some people love those sensations. Then there are others who just really enjoy things like being spanked with a cane or flogged with a bullwhip. So it really is not a big surprise that some people get an erotic thrill out of the sorts of feelings that others might not like, things like embarrassment or jealousy for all you cuckolds out there, shame, and for some people, even fear. There's always a little bit of fear in BDSM, I think. But that truth that people enjoy this is really at the core of erotic humiliation play. Now, our emotions are called our feelings because we actually feel them. You get that nice physiological response. Maybe your heart pounds, your nerves are all tingling, and you get blood rushing to certain parts of your body. Now, these you can feel actually physically, just the same way that you might feel a smack on the ass. But the interesting thing is, nobody's going to be touching you or making any contact with you, but your body still feels the erotic humiliation feeling the same way that it would feel a good spanking, which just fascinates me. One thing I do want to say is erotic humiliation play really should be play. Just because it's kind of like my PSA, my public service announcement for the night. So just like any form of BDSM or kinky sex play, you want to make sure that you negotiate a scene really well because some people have triggers. So you want to know the right things to say to them and the things absolutely not to say to them in a scene. So just like you would negotiate with someone getting tied up or someone getting spanked, you absolutely want to negotiate your erotic humiliation play. And the interesting thing about this is when you've negotiated it, it's absolutely true that your domain can say something like, "You're a pathetic little worm, you're useless to me." But she can actually have deeply, you know, caring feelings, respectful feelings, or even love toward the person that she is addressing, just because it becomes part of that BDSM scene. So you want to negotiate these things really, really well. And here's a little bit of a personal example. So Jack, Everybody knows Jack. Over the course of our time together, he has grown more and more in the direction of what I might call, I guess, emotional impact play or this erotic humiliation. He can cross-dress a little bit more. We do so, I don't know, every once in a while. But I like to call him my little slut, you know, walk through fantasies of things that we might have done and really just get into his head, you know, blindfold him and have my strap on and just walk him through what it was like the first time I brought him, well, the only time I brought him to a glory hole and had him suck cock for me. So sucking his strap on and just calling him a cocksucker and really almost degrading him and feminizing him, calling him a slut, a bitch, a whore, a naughty girl, anything like that, to just really get him deeper into that subspace. But it is highly erotic for both of us. And I know what things not to say. And I think that erotic humiliation shouldn't be, you know, crude or even brutal. But if you're doing it in a nicely negotiated way, it actually can be delivered with a lot of precision and very sexy finesse. So erotic humiliation, which is hot, it actually can go from the mildest, almost playful embarrassment, like, you know, catching someone wearing panties, to really, really deep degradation, to just making someone feel vile and filthy, like a worm, dehumanizing even. But it's important to note that people's reactions to specific words and other triggers can be very, very strong. So, again, focus on what is and what isn't a turn-on, no matter what sort of play you're going to engage in. But I think most importantly, nowhere is this more true than with erotic humiliation play. Now, my standard practice, if someone calls me up and says, "Miss Delia, humiliate me," sure, I can do that all day long because I love erotic humiliation. But with someone that I don't know, before I try to mind fuck them and humiliate them, I am going to ask them what words and phrases especially push their buttons and what words or phrases are either soft limits or hard limits for them. Because words, rather than, you know, words are rope, paddles, bullwhips, canes, anything like that, words are the primary tools of erotic humiliation. So, what I think I love the best about this is because you're using your mind and your words, erotic humiliation play so easily just lends itself to, you know, our world of cyber, phone, and long-distance domination. So think about the things that get you hard that also make you blush, and you might very well just be into erotic humiliation.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, my goodness. Miss Delia did have some excellent points there. I just loved hearing her talk about all the psychology and all the spine-tingling details behind such an truly interesting fetish. And that really leads me to something that I want to talk a little bit about, which is that I think in erotic humiliation, communication is 100% important. In fact, I think it is the most important part of this. You know, it's where you start out at, and in order to explore a fetish like this, you need a great starting point to really dig into someone's psyche in a way that is truly spine-tingling to me. So I think we're going to talk a little bit about communication and relativity.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure, Miss Delia, we can both agree on this. We have had calls where we get a lovely submissive on the end of the line who says he wants you to humiliate him. So, you want me to humiliate you? Those who know me well know that I have no problem. None. Flipping on the evil bitch switch, although that's mysterious bitch to you, but they also know that I practice safe play, and I do not jump into full-blown dom mode until I collect the information that I need. The way I see it, the wrong set of words, much like Miss Delia said, can be just as damaging and dangerous to the psyche as a misfire of a single-tail whip could be to a spine. If I would never in a million years dream of using a whip with my eyes closed, how could I feel confident that a submissive is safe under my care and control when jumping into a random slew of insults and hoping maybe one will work is essentially an equal risk when you really think about it, and that's not very sexy. Now, here's how we're going to make it sexy. You want me to humiliate you. Beautiful. When I ask in which ways do you find yourself inadequate, or how do you enjoy being humiliated, or why do girls laugh at you? I don't want to hear, I don't know, just degrade me, or I don't know, they just do. Well, the thing is, honey, erotic humiliation is particularly subjective. This is about you and the individual that you are. Now, I hold a very high respect for submissives who are aware of their needs and strong enough to be able to share them with me. On the flip side, I fully realize that trust is very important, and it often takes a level of trust to share those dark and twisty secrets. It's something to be built, and nervousness does have the ability to make a person act as if they've been hit by a freeze ray. You might be my sexy submissive in the moment, but you are still a human being, and I do understand what is going through you. So knowing what you personally consider humiliating is of vital importance in order to explore your fetish in a way that we can both enjoy. And while building trust is still a work in progress, a couple of tidbits off the tip of your personal fetish iceberg is a perfect place to start. So, let's make this communication part nice and easy on you. I'm going to give you a metaphor. If you tell me that you want to be humiliated, but you are unable to give me an example of what humiliation means to you, this is equivalent to going through your local fast food drive-thru and saying that you want food. There is no magical mind-reading scanner that is going to get your number 5 with onion rings instead of fries, no mustard, and extra pickle. And as many of us know, lack of extra pickle can make or break an experience. So, tell me about your pickles, dear, and let's see where it takes us. Now, the next thing that I want to touch on a little bit is just the irony of the situation and the beautiful psychology behind this fetish. I think one of the biggest roots of erotic humiliation, we have this ingrained notion that sexual desires are just dirty, dirty things. And we're human. Sex is part of being human. It shouldn't be viewed as dirty. But as sexually open as our society seems to have become, well, sexual preferences still aren't exactly water cooler chat. Whether or not you hold any shame toward your desire is a very personal thing, but that doesn't make it a conscious choice, given the stigma that we're surrounded with. So I have a theory that erotic humiliation is something of a compromise within yourself. I think of it as a veil that you can hide under that makes exploring your kinks possible by excusing potential guilt. You can enjoy any number of things. It could be habitually stroking your cock, wearing a pair of sexy little panties, or being instantly helpless at the sight of a pair of stocking-clad legs, maybe even some bisexual fantasies. But this veil takes these desires and weaves them into something that you can easily pretend is out of your control. And a shameful instinct can hold a lot less of an impact when the blame game is redirected from what you're embarrassed to want to being made helpless at the words spoken by a humiliatrix. You see, this is what turns habitual strokers into pathetic, horny masturbators, what turns panty wearers into frilly little sissies, and what melts the average horny male into a helpless and nerveless helpless and nervous puddle under the power of a cock tease, and, what turns bi-curious men into cock-sucking sluts. And when you have a wonderful psychological dynamic like how could you really resist such a spine-tingling fetish? So, I am going to wrap this up on a last note, which is, you know, one of the ways that I really like to think of erotic humiliation. At the end of the day, I adore people. I like to see the best in them, and I like knowing that there's something I can do to make their day better. I am no saint, but I am a lovable pervert who adores spending time with other lovable perverts. So, when a submissive comes to me with a strong desire to be humiliated or even degraded, I feel like it would be more cruel to blow off such an important desire than it would be to explore it. So, my humiliation sluts, I want you to remember that the moment you ask for it, speaking phrases like pathetic dicklet, worthless loser, or cocksucking slut all end up translating to kinky hugfest in my dictionary. Who knew being so devious could make me feel so warm and fuzzy inside?
Welcome back, everybody. I want to give a special shout out to Alice Wonder this week, who was actually the inspiration for this show. On Tumblr this week, there was a wonderful post brought up by Mistress Olivia on Tumblr. And that post actually talked about when a dominant, you know, when you call kind of asshole on a dominant being, you know, really good versus being a bully. And Alice Wonder responded to that post that Miss Olivia did and said that she recently did a call with a dom where part of the call involved the dom fucking Alice's face like she was just a piece of meat. Delicious, right? Oh, love that scene. She was just a fuck toy, nothing more. And when, you know, when she got started, it wasn't very realistic. But when her mistress saw how much it really, really turned Alice on, oh boy, did she get into it. And Alice could tell that she really, really loved it. And I just wanted to say that I think that this is an incredibly sexy kind of note from a submissive, because you can really tell sometimes when you've negotiated a scene, even when you've spelled out exactly what it is, it takes it up, you know, it takes a minute for your mistress to make your number five combo with onion rings instead of fries, no mustard, and absolutely extra pickles. So, you know, when we're cooking in the kitchen and we're starting off the scene, just let us ease into it like you do. And I thought that was a perfect quote. So thank you, Alice Wonder, for inspiration for a hot spot show.
Well, I think it is time for us to talk a little bit about sensual humiliation versus hardcore humiliation.
I'll take the hardcore.
I love it. We're going to start with, well, simply sexual humiliation, which is the consensual use of verbal or physical humiliation where one or both participants experience erotic excitement from being demeaned and humiliated or from humiliating or demeaning another. Now, sensual humiliation is sometimes thought of as the tamer end of erotic humiliation. There may be some truth to that. A tease between a man and a woman, where a woman taunts him by spreading her pussy lips, rubs him against him, and then tells him to look, but don't touch, is an example of a tame and sensual tease. Sensual humiliation often remains on that level of tease, or, playful restraint, and it's defined by the intensity of the humiliation ritual practiced by its participants. Tame or not, the fact is that sensual humiliation can get intense. Intense enough to even cross over into the world of hardcore humiliation. And that means that it is up to the participants to set the desired and satisfying boundaries.
And hardcore humiliation is my arena. It takes on erotic humiliation and just makes it more spicy, more intensely flavored. It kicks it up a notch. So if you enjoy the edgy, more sustained side of humiliation, or maybe you're just another small-dicked man who feels that he deserves to be extremely humiliated, the hardcore arena is absolutely for you. Where sensual humiliation is mostly about the tease, hardcore humiliation pushes boundaries, embraces pain and embarrassment, and actually heightens the degree of humiliation, both verbal and physical, that's experienced. So where sensual humiliation may be like taunting, something like, your Tweety Bird dick is too small to tap my pretty pussy, hardcore humiliation would be extremely mocking, laughing, a hot woman lubing up a vibrator and I don't know, sticking it into her male partner's mouth so that he understands his place, or even having him stand for hours naked in front of a room full of like masturbating women that call him names and belittle him. So there is quite a difference.
Oh my, did that get me all worked up. I don't know about you, Miss Delia, but I think it just might be time for the hot spot to get a little bit hotter.
Indeed.
Let's talk about some more sensual humiliation. I have a scenario for you. A woman works at the bar down the street as a bartender, and, well, these naughty boys in the chat room always wanted to fuck her. I thought she was married. Now, two drinks into your usual Friday night visit, she flashes her tits and tells you that she just broke up with her useless boyfriend. She says, follow her to her house. You spring a boner during a slurpy-tongued makeout session on her couch, and then she suddenly gets up, saying, too bad you're not man enough to handle me. And of course, you'll respond, BS, I'm man enough for any pussy. Not mine, she answers. She licks her finger and sticks it up her cunt. Like this. She slowly finger fucks her hole, flicks at her dripping clit. You are turned on and humiliated at the same time. She straddles over you, letting her cum dribble onto your face. You feel like a worthless, horny piece of crap underneath her. You went home with her in the first place to do your manly job and fuck her until she moans, and here you are watching her finger fuck herself, humiliated and unable to do anything about it. Now, of course, she comes. Oh, yes, I'm talking the sounds made when Harry met Sally kind of orgasm. She gets dressed and humiliatingly orders you to leave, saying, maybe next time, only if you're really lucky, she just might let you touch her.
Now, hardcore humiliation takes that sexy scenario of a woman at the bar down the street and just turns it up a notch. So, she invites you over to her house, you think, for a little wine, maybe a little music, maybe some sex. And perhaps she did not as you thought. You get in, and boom, she handcuffs you to a chair. And that's when her verbal humiliation begins, because she knows about a man like you, doesn't she? She belittles you about the way you smell, the way you dress, the lack of a bulge in your pants, and laughs that you actually think that anyone would want to screw a loser like you. She pulls down your pants and grabs your balls. She makes fun of the way that they look, telling you that no hot woman like her would get her mouth anywhere near such ridiculous-looking balls. Then she calls out, "Honey, come on in here." And a six-foot stud with nothing on but a cock ring walks in, stroking his dick. And she tells you, "Now this is a real man. You see his cock, how hard and big it is? You are just a little dick loser." And she makes you watch while they stand inches from your face and fuck. He slams his cock into her, and she taunts you. She taunts your pathetic loser ass until they both come all over the place. They leave to take a shower together, leaving you there tied to the chair like the nothing that you are. A little bit different, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it does look to me like we have some writings from a humiliation slut, so I feel that I just have to share. He says, "Sadly, you can't really meet a woman and tell her that you want her to humiliate you. So I was left with the memories of stroking, and that was until I met my mistress. She will happily put me in the most humiliating situations, from crawling across the floor, naked, to licking her boots. She calls me humiliation slut, and says a slut will do anything to get off, and I will." "She then tapes it and makes me watch it with her, or her and her friends, so they can laugh while I come, watching myself be humiliated. I've done things for her that I never thought I'd try. Sucked cocks, worn panties, begged for spankings. Anything that would humiliate me in front of her and make for good television the next day or so when she calls me to come over for a viewing party. I'm due there now, and can only imagine what she has in store for me next. Damn, Miss Delia, I think we're going to need a sequel."
I agree. Oh, I agree.
Oh, listen up, humiliation pet. Do you know what time it is? We know what time it is. It is stroking time. We mistresses came up with a song for you to enjoy and habitually stroke to. So let's all have a few minutes of stroking pleasure, but no coming. Come on, you don't want to embarrass yourself and shoot that load without permission, do you? Welcome back. Well, it is time for schedule news for Miss Marilyn. Keep an eye on my schedule page, that's kinkadvisor.com/schedule, to find out what times I will be available. And if those times don't work for you, please feel more than free to email me at marilyn@enchantrixempire.com for an appointment. If I can make it, I damn sure will. Lastly, remember, sissies, the soiree is coming up on the 28th, so do head over to EE and join our group. And the bikini contest deadline ends very, very soon. So you want to get those entries in within the next couple of days and do have lots of girly, sexy fun.
Well, I'm here weekdays from about 8 in the morning until 6 in the evening. But I do entertain very fun appointments. So it's always important to email me for appointments, Delia@enchantrixempire.com. Just ask. And, you know, I will if I can. If for some reason you're like, "Oh, my God, it's 5:55. Will you please stay?" Just ask dispatch to ask me. Absolutely. Have live help give me a call. These kinds of things just really make it possible for me to personalize your experience and just give you the best. And if I can, you know I will.
Oh my, I have had so much fun tonight. This really was a spine-tingling show. Thank you for tuning in for a spanking good time. This is Miss Marilyn signing off and slipping into the world of erotic humiliation and much giggling. You all have a kinky evening, and I will catch you next Sunday.
And this is Miss Delia telling you to remember to go download our show's podcast and check out our partner blog, kinkclassroom.com. Well, especially for that serving tray gag and all the attachments. Oh, you've got to go check that out. And you'll also get the sexy recaps from this week's show. Remember, be back here at 8 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. And everyone, have a very hot and sexy week.